I'll start reading Isaiah chapter 9. No, what did I say? 10. Chapter 10 and verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So we said the anointing is God's burden removing, yoke destroying power. And the anointing also, we said, is the performance enhancer. We said also the anointing is God's power on human flesh to do what only God can do. Didn't we say that? We said the anointing is the power of God. Now, this anointing is something that many times is misunderstood, and it's designed to take the struggle out of life and lead you into triumphant living. And there is no substitute for it. That the anointing is what God gives us in these last days to finish the work that he has called us to do. Jesus was anointed. He said over in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Praise God. And the anointing is there for you, enabling you to do what God has called you to do. Now, we read about the seven aspects of the anointing brought out in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the what? Fear of the Lord. Now notice, there were seven spirits involved there. First, chapter 2, the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 2, the Spirit of the Lord. And then also the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Glory to God. Let's go over to Joel. J-O-E-L. Joel. Now, you might want to go back to your table of contents. Then you might not. But whatever the case may be, I don't have a long time for you to get there. Are you with me? Now, the anointing is an absolute for fruitful living. Okay? It brings supernatural abundance. Glory to God. And it makes a high level of performance possible. And it distinguishes people and is the master key to fulfillment and accomplishment in these last days. Nothing really gets accomplished without the anointing. You with me? All right. It says in verse 23, be glad, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain. Lord, have mercy. Now, what is rain? It's symbolic of the anointing. The former rain and the latter rain. People say that the former rain is an anointing to win souls, but the latter rain is anointing to beautify the church. Everything that's on you, making you uncomfortable, the anointing is there to remove it. Everything. Verse 25, verse 24, and the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall, say overflow, somebody. Overflow with wine and oil. And I'll restore unto you the what? Years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, that palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And you shall eat plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be what? Ashamed. And shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my what? Spirit upon some flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream, and your young men shall see vision. That's why I see visions all the time. Okay, so it took y'all a little while to catch that, didn't it? Okay, that's all right. All right, so we shared some things with you about the anointing, and we talked about the anointing coming on certain people, that this anointing enabled them to do things. And we're going to specifically just mention a little bit about, again, the spirit of wisdom, and we want to go into spirit of might tonight. But let's look again here at this anointing and how this anointing comes on people and causes things to happen in people's lives. Because if you're just going to sit down there in that chair and you say, well, you know, I'm waiting on the anointing to come on me. Well, that is not the way it happens. Faith is the anointing connector. I said, faith is the anointing connector. All right, let's look at Numbers chapter 22 first. No. Turn to Numbers chapter 22 and just put something there. And then let's go further over to Judges chapter 6. Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. All right. Look at Numbers chapter 22. Glory to God. Ooh. I told y'all some financial miracles about to break out in this church. I'm telling you, that's the Spirit of God talking about that. All right. Look at Judges. Now, put something in Numbers chapter 22. Look at Judges again. Judges is right after Joshua, which is right after Numbers. Judges chapter 6. Okay. Let me know when you get to Judges chapter 6. Are you there? All right, now here's a time when Israel was really suffering, because the Amalekites had overrun them, and as fast as they get to harvest, the enemy would come and take it, and they were just just going through a rough time. And look at verse 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But ye have not, what? Obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in where? Oprah. I guess that's where Oprah got her name from. I think that's what their name is. That pertained unto Joash, the Abizurite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Now, that's the oppression that they were under. They were hiding harvest. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thy mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why has all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us. How many of you know he said he'll never leave you or forsake you? And delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, underline might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Lord, that's all you want to know. Did he send you? Because when he appoints you, he anoints you. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. Now, another translation says, my family is poorest among the tribe. And I am the least in my father's house, saying that I'm the least thought of. Now, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites just like one man. Now, this is very interesting, isn't it? Here's a man trying to disqualify himself. Now, the Lord comes to people, and once he comes to you and you come into the kingdom, he qualifies you. He makes you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You didn't make yourself righteous. He made you that way. Say amen to that. And you go through the scriptures and kind of looked in the book and saw somebody had kind of outlined some things that people have disqualified themselves on and so forth. And I just thought, I said, man, I think I'll quote some of those. But Noah, he felt he's qualified because he drank too much. Abraham thought he was too old. Come on now. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a speech problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was too young. Timothy was too weak in his stomach. David had an affair. Elijah was suicidal. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. I mean, it goes on and on. But God is saying the same thing. Have not I sent you? Isn't that something? Amen. So you fit in here somewhere. Now, if you don't fit in here, let's go to Numbers chapter 22 and see if you fit over here. Now this, number 22 is where a man named Balaam was said to Balak, Numbers 22 is when a man named Balaam was called on by Balak. Now, Balak was a king of the Moabites. Moabites were enemies of the people of God. And so now they were, the people of God were multiplying, and Balak was getting afraid. And he said, hey, let me send for somebody to come curse these people. So he sent his people to Balaam to get him to come and curse him. Well, the messengers came to Balaam, and you know, he was there, and they said, hey, people come out of Egypt and they cover the face of the earth, verse 6, come now therefore, I pray thee, and curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me, peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I might drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed. So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam. So they came to Balaam basically and said, let me end the story here. But they told him, said, listen, we need you to come and curse these people. He said, well, let me go pray about it. Y'all stay here tonight. I'll wake up in the morning, seek God. So he did. Basically, God told him, don't do it. Whatever God blesses is blessed. How many of you know you are blessed? So then what happened? They went and got some higher ranking officials, boys with some big checkbooks, and sent them back there and said, hey, make another offer to him. Well, he ended up going. Well, he ended up going and taking his donkey, and the donkey on the way start acting a fool. Can I use that term right there? He started really acting up. And it got so bad until verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in the narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down unto Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote this donkey with a staff. And the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and the donkey began to preach. Now, I'm just saying, if you don't fall in that other category, if God can use a donkey, you know he can use you. Am I right about it? Now, I'm just saying, if God can make a donkey preach, come on, y'all got to go. Come on back to Exodus real quick, in Exodus chapter 4. The reason why I'm doing this is because I want you to build your faith for the anointing. Faith is the anointing connector. Look what it says here in Exodus chapter 4. And this is God calling on Moses in verse 10. And Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither herefore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of slow tongue. And the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? I won't go any further than that. I'm just letting you know there's an anointing on you that God can use. If you just trust God and believe that if you open your mouth, he will fill it. Say amen to that. So that anointing is just not for you to do something in church. That anointing is for you to be the fastest, most efficient typist in the office, the most complete lawyer on the council, to be the best school teacher with the best lesson plans that are in the school system. That anointing is to take you up above everybody else and distinguish you as being sent by God. Now, we said the spirit of wisdom is the most crucial among the seven spirits. It's the most crucial. The spirit of wisdom. Now, Jesus functioned with this wisdom. And one of the things that wisdom does is it makes you highly creative and highly productive. Let's go over there real quick. Come on over here to Proverbs, please. Oh, Jesus, I'm almost done. I got to get out. Proverbs, Lord have mercy. Proverbs chapter, why don't we go to Proverbs chapter 3? Let me know when you get there. Ooh, ready when I am. All right. Okay. Praise the Lord. Happy is it, verse 13. Happy is a man that findeth wisdom, and the man or woman that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that canst thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. Length of days are in her right hand. Whose right hand? Wisdom. And in her left hand is what? Riches and honor. Verse 19, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth. So it took wisdom to come forth with the earth that works like it does. Now look at Proverbs chapter 8, please. Verse 10. Receive my instructions and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. This is wisdom talking. For wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things that can be may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, glory to God, and find out knowledge of what? Witty inventions. The fear of the Lord is to what? Hate evil. Verse 14, counsel is mine, sound wisdom, and sound wisdom, I am understanding and I give strength. By me, kings reign. And by me, princes or rulers decree justice. Verse 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. I, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Wisdom will do this. Daniel chapter 12, please. Daniel chapter 12. I don't want you to forget this one. Let me know when you get there. Daniel chapter 12. Have you got it? Verse 3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. And they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So wisdom makes you a star. Say, I'm a star. All right. Now, look what Jesus operated in. Go over here first to John chapter 7, please. John chapter 7. Now, remember, when you operate in wisdom, nobody can say anything against you. Because nobody can gainsay or resist wisdom. Okay? Wisdom is powerful, but it takes a demand to be placed on it now. Look what it says in John chapter 7 and verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught, and the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, never having learned? What are they saying? How does this man know so much? He never went to our schools. Why? Because he was operating in the anointing of wisdom. That same anointing is on you now. I said that same anointing is on you. All right? So, what God has really prepared for you, no smartness of yours can get it for you. Got it? Okay? All right, so what is the primary purpose of the anointing? It's for you to live a quality of life that is far above and beyond what the natural person can experience. That's the purpose of it. It's not just to speak in tongues and whatnot or have you, but it's to do those things, all right? Now let's go to one more place here. That's Matthew's Gospel chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And let me know when you get to Matthew chapter 13. All right, have you got it? All right. It says in verse 53, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence has this man this what? Wisdom and what else? These mighty works. All right. Coming over to Acts chapter 1. All right, so Jesus, they said, how does he have this wisdom and these mighty works? Notice two anointings run together, wisdom and might. Are you with me? All right, so notice what he said in verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, the who? Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both where? In Jerusalem. Keep going. Keep going. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. All right? Now, what is this endowment of power? It is the might of God, and it is designed to enable you to dominate the regions of darkness. It is the might of God that will enable you to dominate the regions of darkness. Say amen to this. One man said, the spirit of might is the ability to do anything. It's the practical side. Let's go over to Luke's gospel again and chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Come on. Amen. Glory to God. Are you with me? All right, look at starting at verse, I won't start back there because I'm going to finish real quick. At verse 18, Jesus is standing up to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath what? Anointed me to do what? To preach the gospel to the who? Poor. So for you to preach the gospel to the poor, you need to be what? Anointed. He has sent me to heal the broken who? Hearted. To preach deliverance to who? Captives. Recovering of sight to who? Blind. To set at liberty them that are what? Bruised. And to preach the what? Acceptable year of the Lord. Then he what to the book? Closed the book, gave it to the minister, and what did he do? Sat down, and all the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Let's go all the way down in verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold your peace, come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority, keep going, and power, he commanded the unclean spirits, and they come out. Now, what am I saying? Come over to Psalm 110, please. Psalm 110. I'm almost done. Psalm 110. Glory to God. Woo-wee. I'm feeling the power of him myself. Psalm 110. Let me know when you get it. Okay, in Psalm 110, this is a prophetic word about the power in the last days. He said in verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So there is going to be a power that's going to be on display in the last days, such as a dimension that has never been seen before in the earth. And this power in the last days will completely disarm all wickedness. Look what this power is for. Verse 1, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies, come on, thy footstool. This power is going to make the enemies of God our footstool. Turn to Psalm 66, please. I think that's where it is. Praise God, I feel happy. Psalm 66, Lord have mercy. Are you there? Verse 3, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thy enemies, what? Submit themselves unto you. The devil does not respect anything but power. And that power God wants you to be conscious of that is running in you right now. So if you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost, you have the power in you right now. And this power is going to totally subdue the devil. So we want it that when you walk in a place, demons start hiding. they start, because you have just come in and have a conscious awareness that that power is in you to subdue any devil that's in this room.
Glory to God.
Now, chapter 5, and we are out. Mark chapter 5, that power is in you right now. I said, and the more you focus and meditate on it, the more resident that power becomes. Smith Wigglesworth walked in that power so strong until some of those preachers who were preaching in various religions that wasn't even saved, when he came in the room, came in one of the cars to the train, and he stepped in the car, and this preacher saw him, and he felt so convicted, he fell down at Wigglesworth's feet and said, "Pray for me and get me saved, I'm a sinner." And this man had on a bishop's collar or whatever have you. My point to you is that devils have been hiding. But when you walk in and you know who you are, that you've got a kingly anointing on your life, when you come in, demons shut up. They know that if they make any noise, you're gonna deal with it. Ow! Say amen to that. So he told them in Luke chapter 24, disciples, don't you leave here until you've been endued with what? Power from on high. Somebody say power. And over in Mark and chapter 5 and verse 25, a certain woman who had an issue of blood 12 years, she'd suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, but nothing bettered, but rather she grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. How did she hear from Jesus? How did she hear about Jesus? I think that she heard about him through the demoniac. Remember in the previous, in that part of that chapter, earlier in there, Jesus hit this coastline of Gadara, and there was a man possessed with demons, legions of them, and came and he fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Jesus, the demons cried, "Don't cast us out of this country." Because how many of you know demons like territories? But he cast them out. He told them to go, and they went into the hogs, and the hogs ran into the river and drowned. And that's why I don't eat pork today. And so now, no, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. The Bible says you can eat anything and sanctify it with the word of God and prayer. Okay. But anyway, so anyhow, what happened was this demoniac got set free. The disciples of people came back and saw this demon possessed man that no chains could hold him. No fetters could hold him. Anything that they tried to bind him with, he ripped it apart. So notice, they needed some power, but they didn't have any. But here comes Jesus. And I'm telling you, when you step in a place and you have a conscious awareness of the power that's in you, demons will bow. You better hear what I'm telling you now. But here's what I'm trying to tell you. The demoniac wanted to go with Jesus. But what did Jesus tell him? "Don't follow me. Go home to your kinfolk and all them and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you." Notice what he tell them to do. Go witness. They knew you were a demoniac. They knew you were out here cutting yourself, crying, running around naked. They knew you were out of your mind. Now let them see what power did. And once he did that, I believe the woman heard about Jesus through this man. And then she said, "If I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole." That he was the anointed one. And he was coming with a power that no man had. And so what happened? She pressed her way. So I'm just saying, for you to get to the anointing, you're gonna have to press your way. You're going to have to get up in the morning and get some devotion time. Come on. You're going to have to stop loose-lipping and gossiping and all of that, because all of those things destroy the anointing. Say amen to this. And watch, when she touched it, virtue flowed. And she knew in her body that she was totally healed immediately. Then she fell down, told him the whole story. He said, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Watch this. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Not whole means didn't just get healed. You just got the money back that you spent on hospital bills, because God is going to restore everything through that anointing. Say amen to that. But notice, thy faith made thee whole. See, the anointing was on Jesus all the time. And so many people were touching him, but they didn't get nothing. But one woman touched him with faith. Give the Lord a praise. Amen. All right. Glory to God. If you're here and you need to be born again, you need to be saved, I want to do something for you right now. I want to call you, and I want to pray with you, and I want to make it so that tonight can be the night for your miracle, that God will turn everything around that's in your life, and you can have a brand new start starting right now. He'll cancel out every sin, every transgression, and you can have a brand new life. If you want that, I want to pray with you right now. If you'd like me to do that, I know it's been a long time, but you get what you came here for. Don't leave here without it. So if you want me to pray with you and pray that prayer of faith so that you can come into the family of God, I want to do it right now. If you'd like me to do that, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come up here and stand with me right now. Praise God. Right here, dog. Anyone. Amen. Come right up. Come right up. Stand right here. Come on up. Stand right here. Good to see you. Good to see you. Come on.